Father, tonight we look to you with childlike faith. We look to you, and from our end, Lord, we yield to just how big you are, how present you are, how faithful you are. Words can't even describe how beautiful and mighty and awesome you are. We've tried for the last hour or so to sing praises and reinforce our affection and love for you. Tonight, Lord, we're here to seek you. We're here with great, great confidence in our hearts. We're here with expectation, Lord, that comes from you. Our expectancy is high because of how reliable you are. Your track record is impeccable. And you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. And so, Lord, I pray you would just use me to be a source of good teaching and preaching. I pray the presence of the Lord would flow. I pray you'd stir people's hearts. And Lord, I pray there would be some real connection and real engagement with heaven. We give you thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to talk to you out of John chapter 15. And I want to just show you something so great about our connection with Jesus and embracing of the Bible. While you're turning to John chapter 15, verse mainly 7, I want to just talk to you about answered prayer, peace in trouble, spiritual fruitfulness, and so forth. Jesus said, I am the vine, I am the true vine. There's so many philosophies, there's so many systems, there's so many voices, but Jesus is the real deal. He said, and my Father is the vine dresser. And then he said in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That verse is interesting to me because, I mean, when I was reading about Nimrod and those guys that built the Tower of Babel, they did some things apart from God. I see a lot of things that actually are done in the flesh, but what Jesus is really saying, nothing of real eternal value, nothing of real substance, nothing really that'll last can be built independently from him. So let's just make that clear. Flesh can do a lot of things. It produced Ishmael. It can whip up projects and ideas, but when you really are connected with Jesus and sensitive to him. One of my kids talked to me about being led by the Holy Spirit. And I said, look, okay, our supposition as believers is that there's a God and we didn't just accidentally happen, but that he created us in his image and gave us authority. And then when Jesus came to redeem us, he said, my sheep know my voice. So I want to just basically remind you that God created you, that he created you for purposes. He created you with the right time frame and the right space. He's downloaded gifts in you. And that as you trust that, keep your eyes on him, stay in closeness to him every day. And I like what C.S. Lewis said about this. It's a daily thing. You do this, there's going to be major fruitfulness, major results in prayer. In fact, verse 7 goes over the top with it. It says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Let me read it again. If you abide in me, Jesus said, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Wow. What a verse. Can I read it to you again? If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Does it occur to you that this verse is telling us that if we'll fellowship with Jesus and lay hold of his promises, we'll get results? That there's so much potential, even in this room right now, even the fact that you're in this proximity. One verse says that where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is in our midst. Even in a little small gathering, just with a couple of people present. And as we abide in him, we trust him. This is what's interesting about this verse. The word in the Greek means to stay in a given place, in a state or a relationship or with expectancy, to continue, to dwell, to endure. Wow, I think that's amazing. And somebody was talking to me about what our guest speaker, Patsy Caminiti, said about expectancy, and it really triggered something in my heart. Because expectancy is really not the manufacture of our energies as much as it is a byproduct of God's presence. When people got around Jesus, even Nicodemus said, "Rabbi, we could tell you're from God because of these miracles." The Syrophoenician woman that had a demonized child was so motivated to ask him for help that even when he said, "Look, I'm called to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I'm really not, this isn't the time for the Gentiles yet." She said, "Still, even the dogs get the crumbs from the table." Jesus was doing stuff where he spoke with authority and not as the scribes. And he had signs and wonders following what he did. Jesus is different than any myth. He's different than any fairy tale. He's different than any bit of, you know, what people have brought through in history. He's unique. He's the Son of God. He's the true vine. Now, this is what the Bible says. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you by my Father who's in heaven. Right before that, though, he says, apart from me, you could do nothing. But remember what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, amen, in Christ, who strengthens me. You know, you actually can do what God's called you to do. You could be the parent God's called you to be. You could be the business owner God's called you to be. You could be the worker God's called you to be. You could be the friend God's called you to be. You can be the steady Christian and the fruit bearer and the interesting impactor in the world. Listen, God is looking for people he can use. And these verses remind me of so many other ideas. Now, here's what C.S. Lewis said. Relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing yet had been done. Relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing yet had been done. Did you notice that every day has enough trouble of its own? He said, don't worry about each day. Each day, this is the way God's designed it. Every day, listen, this is our moment. We're trusting God. North America needs Jesus right now, man. Movie theaters need Jesus. Schools need Jesus. Businesses need Jesus. And the good news is he's present. He's available. I mean, that's why we leaned into it in praise and worship. Not to try to whip up an emotional experience, but to press into God's presence, to connect with him through praise and worship. I mean, this is what I'm pressing in toward with the scriptures. As I share the word with you, that's really the best part of what needs to be said tonight anyway, is God's word. Faith comes by hearing God's word. Even this verse right here, if you take hold of this, the possibilities are endless. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you by my Father who's in heaven. I mean, this is the solution for answered prayer. I mean, this is a big, fat, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And Proverbs 3:5, I love it. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. I like it that my kids are asking me, you know, Dad, how do you find out God's will? Well, God's word is his will. And the good assurance I have is that those who are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. We actually can be led by the Holy Spirit tonight. We actually do know the Master's voice. There is a guidance system that's way better than a GPS. Remember those news reports where people were driving cars over hills because they were following their GPS? That'll never happen with God's positioning system. He always leads us in the truth. He never guides us into a ditch. Never, never, never. And I'm grateful for that. This guidance system that we have, when we calibrate with him, we abide in him, we get our expectations up, we get our sense of confidence, we get our sense of creativity from him, amazing things can take place. Yeah. Let me remind you, Jeremiah said it this way, "Ah, Lord God, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too hard for you. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing is too difficult for him. Let's go to Psalm 27. I want to look at some Psalms here because I think these things are exclamations mainly from David and all the things he went through. Look what he said here. This is pertinent for today. I love these verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The word fear means frightened, cautious, dismayed, terrified. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? I think dread is the opposite of expectancy. Dread wonders when the other shoe will drop. Dread has an anticipation of negativity, of evil, of worry, of fear, of anxiety. On the other hand, expectancy in God, confidence in God, is always looking at, I can't wait to see what kind of great blessing God pulls around through this. In fact, you know, when this church flooded, I have to tell you, it was very depressing. Very depressing. It was disastrous. And I felt so much ache of loss. And yet, what the enemy meant for harm, God turned around for good. God turned it around for good. And God, I'm not happy about the flood. I still think it's tragic and sad. I don't rejoice over those kinds of things, but I rejoice in those kinds of things, that God always causes us to triumph. He said, when evildoers came upon me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and my enemies, they stumbled and fell. Though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Now, this is David talking about, you know, he even said in Psalm 3, Lord, are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many are they that say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're my glory and the one who lifts my head. Isn't that a good thing? He's the glory and the lifter of your head. I heard somebody describe melancholy as your head looks like a melon and your face looks like a collie. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain. And then it says, Selah. I love Selah. That means basically be still and know that I am God. Cease your striving and know that I am God. That's one of the hardest things for us to do. In fact, Charles Spurgeon, the pastor from London in the 1800s, said, when you have no helpers, see all your help in God. When you have many helpers, see God in all your helpers. When you have nothing but God, see all in God. When you have everything, see God in everything. Under all conditions, keep your heart only on the Lord. Yeah. And that's really what I want to get over to you right now. There is a miracle in John 15:7. That when you abide in him, when I abide in him, when we abide in him as individuals, in our family, as a kid, in the church, we're going to see some amazing things take place. When you get around Jesus, he stabilizes things. When you get around Jesus, he energizes your faith. When you get around Jesus, the possibility for healing, for miracles, for change is exponentially multiplied. Whenever Jesus showed up in villages, people got healed, people got delivered. In fact, the Bible says when they came to hear, they were healed. The common people received him gladly. And on that reception and on that honor, such amazing things took place. Such profound atmosphere occurred. And this is really what I feel is our responsibility, to abide in him, to trust him, to tap into him. And, you know, here you are on Friday night. You could be in a lot of other places, but you came here. Why? Because of that value of connection. The Greek word is koinonia. When we fellowship, when we connect together, one can chase 1,000, two could put 10,000 to flight. And then what happens is there's such a reinforcement and a nurturing. We're in a common faith. We're in our minds and hearts are in one accord. And then amazing and interesting things take place. There's a fearless trust that comes into our hearts when we get in proximity to Jesus. When our fellowship is quality and connected with him, an assurance shoots through our hearts. When I was in high school, I had a friend named Tony. He was about a foot taller than me. He had a full beard when he was 12. I was 13, and I said, hey, man, I'm, I'm Jeff. He goes, I'm Tony. And there's a kid across the street named Mark that wanted to pick a fight with me. But and I don't know why. He's just a sad guy, you know. But whenever Tony was around me, Mark wouldn't pick on me. I just was walking around because Tony was a big guy. And then even one time he said, you're afraid of me, man. That's why you have to always hang out with Tony. I thought, no, I'm hanging out with Tony because he's my buddy. But it's funny. It's paying off to hang out with Tony. And Tony was gentle, man. He wasn't a bully, you know. But he had a presence to him. He was a big guy. He was a big guy. And Tony kept Mark away. Hallelujah. What can I say? We've got Texas-sized angels all around us. And it's really, really important to understand this. I mean, one time this man, actually in the late 1800s in Bond Street in England, he was an up-and-comer in the financial world. And there was one particular man that was known as the leader of his work. And he asked if he could have an appointment with him and pick his brain about business strategy for his future. And the guy said, and they surprised the young guy, said, I'll meet you at 12 o'clock in front of my office right on the street. So he went and met with this guy, and he walked with him. And as they walked, it was right before lunch, so he walked by all the offices of all these businesses that were collected in this one street, all dealing with the same business. And as he was walking, they were just, you know, the guy was talking to him and asking him questions, and the kid was nervously trying to figure out how to ask this man, you know, the strategy for success for his particular field. And the guy never got around to talking to him in any way about any of the financial stuff. But he walked all the way down to the end of the street, and then he walked all the way back up to the end of the street, and then he walked back to the front of the office. And he said, okay, well, that'll do. The gentleman said, that'll do. And he shook hands with him, and he said, I was hoping for help with my future with business. He goes, I just helped you. By you walking with me in front of all these offices, they just saw you with me, and I just gave you the gift of my connection, and now you'll have more business than you'll know what to do with for the next 5 or 10 years. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened to the guy. And this is what I feel about Jesus. When Peter and John were with Jesus, they were, the Bible says, untrained men, and yet they could tell, the people could tell they had been with Jesus. And this is where the answer is for answered prayer. This is where the power is in our Christian. This is going to put oomph back in your Christian walk. As you get a hold of this, I'm just reconfiguring and restating the obvious to you again tonight. But as you lay hold and stand on these promises, some of these things have grown dry to you. You'll open up one of your Bibles that you've marked up, and you'll look and you'll see notes, and you go, wow, who took my Bible and wrote these notes and got that revelation? And then you'll notice it was your handwriting. I just want to encourage you and remind you that all of God's promises are yes and amen. And he said, though a host encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I shall be confident. I mean, at some point, we've got to fight the good fight with these things. Maintaining fearless trust in God. Everybody say, I shall be confident. Say, in spite of this, I shall be confident. Now you think of what the this is. In spite of this, I shall be confident. Yes. I mean, Abraham considered his own body as good as dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb. And yet, with respect to the promises of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but instead he grew strong in faith. And what happened? He gave glory to God. And you know, the enemy wants us to waver. He wants us to back off. He wants to diminish us. He's all about belittlement and diminishment because his future is grim. But ours is amazing. We're going to share eternity in glory with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we're going to spend eternity apparently with a multitude of people singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And it will not be boring. It will not be off key. It will be amazing. And I'm convinced that we're actually required by God to populate heaven. I believe God is actually calling us to pray so big and step out on such levels That this is why we need these kinds of truths poured into our spirit again and again and again. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. You abide in me, and I in him, you'll bear much fruit. For apart from me, you could do nothing. But with him, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can get your voice back. You can get your momentum back. He said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Now, that's not flippant, because I think it's exactly like Psalm 37, where he said that if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our hearts. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him and he will do it. Who in here has ever had God do something kind of cool in your life? Who's ever noticed the devil try to counter it and attack? Who's had answer to prayer in here before? Okay, I know I'm speaking to the initiated. How many of you like to see some greater breakthrough? Okay, well then I'm speaking to the people who need reviving. The reality is, the key point is that Jesus is a worker of miracles and that his word is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Every promise is true. And that as we draw near to these truths afresh and we are relentless in our desire to have a fearless trust in God, we'll start to see things turn around. Basically, it's like Psalm 91. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I mean, at some point, we've got to just stand and say, okay, God, I thank you for your exceptional favor, your grace, your blessing upon my life, and I trust you. I trust you, and I'm going to keep on trusting you because you're trustworthy, and I'm going to trust you with all my heart, not some of it. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to keep trusting God in these situations. Abraham kept walking around saying, I'm the father of many nations. Wow. Don't you think that's amazing? David got buoyancy in the midst of his battles. Joshua and Caleb actually inherited the land. Boy, I remember prayer meetings where I came in here and my tank was low, and people of faith would lift their voices, and we'd take hold of the promises of God, and we believe God for breakthrough, and boy, we get it every time, man. We get it every time. It's amazing. I've been walking the parking lot praying with Patsy. I've had, even in the midst of prayer, prayer closet intrusions. I've been in the middle of ministry and healing to people, and I had, even when the cell phone first was invented, somebody took it upon themselves to call me, and they started the conversation by saying they didn't believe healing was for today and argued with me for a half an hour. It just comes like that, circumstances. In fact, Patsy's so used to it, she said, it's just because you're getting ready to preach. You know, some of the pressure that's on some of your lives right now is because your life is about ready to come up into a new level of amperage. You don't know it right now. You don't feel it. And you're even annoyed by me telling you. But it's the truth. You're coming into a new level and into a new phase. Somehow Satan, who doesn't know the future, he does see tendencies. He sees threatening potential in people, in the disciples. He's watched people. He's been a student of history and of humanity longer than you and I have been alive. But the good news is he's under our feet. The good news is, though he's a formidable foe, he's been conquered by the power of Jesus. And as we abide in Jesus, man, it's better than hanging out with Tony. As we walk with him, it's better than walking with that prestigious businessman who had so much clout that if somebody would just walk with him, then he'd catch in on the blessing of the favor of his life. Jesus is so much greater than both of those examples. Jesus is more than a bodyguard. He's more than an amazing counselor. He is absolutely present to help and full on wants to push you through into a new level. He does rescue kids that are wayward and disappointing. He does turn foolish people around into wise people. He does turn bizarre situations into material that causes you to have credibility and understanding far beyond what you ever thought. Some of you say, I wish I didn't have to learn this lesson this way. The Bible says to count it all joy when we encounter trials. The trying of our faith is more precious than gold. It's counterintuitive to do that. But God does not, he's not sadistic, and he doesn't want us to be masochistic. We're not gluttons for punishment. But the fact of the matter is, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver us out of them all. One of my favorite verses is in John chapter 16, verse 33, where Jesus said, I said these things to you so that in me you'll have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Take courage. I have overcome the world. Man, we are overcomers. And then later John writes, who has overcome the world but he that believes Jesus is the Son of God? You have no idea how many things God has delivered you from. Some of you know a few of them. Now, the other day something happened to me and I thought, you know, that was a close call. Close calls don't feel like close calls. It's like, But it was a big deal. And God kind of was like, that was a big deal. But it's so nonchalant and we glide through so much of it, we don't even realize it. Do you guys know you've been delivered over and over and over again? Who knows about some close calls? You say, oh yeah, Pastor Jeff, I've got some testimony. If you give me about an hour and 45 minutes, I'll get the microphone and I'll share tonight. Well, you heard me. In fact, a little girl in church said, Mom, I've heard about Pastor Jeff's ocean experience. I know all about it. That's the goal, girl. You might need it in 20 years. You might go back and go, man, I'm so glad that pastor shared that. Because I'm telling you right now, he is an ever-present help. He's with us in trouble. He's walking us through it, you guys. He is present. When you feel like your brain has gone flat, your spirit is dry, you have a metallic taste in your mouth, and you don't know what to do next. I agree with what C.S. Lewis said. Relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing yet had been done. That's why this is so, so important. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. This is what my goal of my preaching is right now. It's to come against that enemy that's trying to gnaw at you and draw you down. Listen, he says, be humble and inherit the land. The humble will inherit the land. How do we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God? By casting all of our cares on him. How many of you are moms? Cast your cares about your kids on the Lord. How many of you are dads? Raise your hand if you're a dad. Cast your cares about those kids and trust God to move on them in a special way. God's not, hey, he's not through with them, man. He's got plenty of stuff left to do through and with your kids. Amen. Well, abiding is unceasing trust, unceasing determination to endure, to believe. We have an abiding belief. I have a constant sense that Jesus is going to have the final say on this thing. That's why I'm not even worried about the Antichrist, the tribulation, the coalition of nations, and all the stuff people are speculating on. I have an overriding confidence that Jesus is coming back in glory with a shout and surrounded by holiness and glory streaks shooting out all over the horizon, and it's going to be all right. I have a confidence in the Great Commission and in the Lord of the harvest that the sower and the reaper will rejoice together. I have confidence in the head of the church that he would build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against him. I have confidence that he that's begun a good work in you will perform it in it. I have faith for this. I have faith for an expectation for God to give you opportunities to open doors right now, some that you don't even expect. But how many of you do expect some answers to prayer when you pray? You better. How many of you expect that when you lay hold of the promises of God? And I like what Pastor Ron told me when I was young. We were traveling together. I was supporting him on a meeting. I was going to go pray with him. He was driving along and he said, you know what? If you just take hold of one scripture, it could change your life forever. I said, say that again. He said, if you just take hold of one promise from God, it could change your life forever. I believe that, man. I believe that. So this is what we do. We trust. Let's go to Psalm 46. I'm all over the place with these Psalms. I think you should go to the Psalms when you're going through battles. Go through Proverbs when you need wisdom. Go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John just to walk with Jesus up and down the street. Go into the epistles to find out the amazing provision of redemption. Oh, yeah, man. Psalm 46. Let's read some parts of it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, abundantly available to help in tight places. Therefore, we will not fear. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. We stand on that. Say, God is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Now here's what it says. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change. In my lifetime, I've noticed some changes. Have you noticed some changes? The earth changes. I mean, they're even saying the climate's changing. As to whether that's true or not, who knows? But you know, God is going to have his final thunderous way. We can trust that in the consummation of the age, everything's going to be put in order. We can trust that in our little micro world, God will move heaven and earth on behalf of one little one who lifts their voice in prayer. We need to understand this in this house tonight. Whatever you're dealing with, God has an acute sensitivity to it. He has an answer for it. He has a guidance for you. He has answers for your situation. He will come in and with his overriding mercy, even fix what you messed up. Now that doesn't mean we should be flippant. That just means we should be grateful. Aren't you glad that even in the self-inflicted misery, mercy triumphs over judgment? D.L. Moody said, mercy is that God doesn't do to us what we deserve, and grace is God gives us things we don't deserve. I think that's really good. He's able to make all grace abound toward us. Say, mercy. Mercy. Though the waters roar and foam. You know, I know that girl already knows about my story in the water. But the farther out I went into the ocean, the worse the ocean got. To the point where it was like I was in a bowl or on the top of a mountain. And it got worse and worse and worse. And the wind picked up. And it got to where I was obscured most of the time in a bowl. And occasionally I'd bob up to the top, and I even said out of my mouth, how are they ever going to see me? And they saw me. They found me. I think I need to draw a map and show you what happened. Because they shot needle in a haystack right out into the water. And none of the guys on the boat thought it was, why are you going right out into the open sea? Everybody say open sea. I think this is cool. That I'm in the heartland in the Midwest sharing ocean stories, and we don't have an ocean anywhere near us. The only beach we have is Times Beach. We don't even have that anymore. But you families that have dealt with addiction, you families that have dealt with how challenging it is to see the outflow of your finances increase, folks that have had alarming symptoms in your body, people who have made bad choices and have had regret seize your heart. You know what I'm talking about. This rescuer is so amazing. And when he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, it's not some sort of make-believe magic wand. This isn't like rub the lamp and the genie will come out. This is, in fact, it's not just advocating flippancy. It's actually saying when you understand God's heart and you understand his promises, you're not going to pray a bunch of stupid prayers. Your craving will be to pray according to the will of God, which is God's revealed word. And you'll understand, though, that all of his promises are yes and amen. You'll carry that dynamic into your prayer. Kingston went to a prayer meeting. He said, Dad, it was so depressing. They just kind of complained, and they just apologized to God for taking up his time. And he said there was no faith in it. I thought, wow, I didn't even know you even understood this stuff exactly, Kingston. He did. You get around the spirit of faith, you pick up these things. You start to realize, wait a minute, man. One could chase 1,000 and two could put 10,000. I'm sitting next to somebody that's got an edge to them, that has victory, that has vitality. Listen, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And we are really actually anointed to win these things and see these things come to pass. Well, I want to finish with Psalm 91 because I'm just trying to read all the Psalms to you that I can from the first one to the 150th one. But I'll do my best with this. Listen to what it says here. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, that's exactly the same thing as abiding in Jesus. You could do this, you guys. You're doing it right now. How many of you have had quite a week? Let me see your hands if you've had quite a week. Okay. Now you've come into this environment. Can you sense air conditioning in here? Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be 100 degrees 4 days in a row next week. I'm so grateful for air conditioning. Aren't you grateful for air conditioning? Thank God for air conditioning. You can feel it in the atmosphere. It feels nice and comfortable. We, you know, it's great to be able to come in and connect in air conditioning. But you know, there's something greater than air conditioning here. It's the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit. And as realistic as Freon in coils causes cooling and eliminates humidity in the air and changes the atmosphere, trusting in the fact that God's present and that in His presence there's fullness of joy. And when we're hanging out with Jesus, supernatural things can take place. Patsy was on the phone with me in another state. We've been praying for certain specific people. She said to me, "Do you think I ought to get with so-and-so?" I said, "Well," and I was really specific, I said, "Maybe." Which sometimes is the case, you know. And I said, "Well," and then she said to Kingston, "What do you think?" And he said, "I don't know." Well, God was prompting her. So she and Kingston, they went to a restaurant to get a salad, and the place was closed. So they went across the street to the other restaurant they'd never been to. Guess who they ran into? So-and-so. And Patsy said to Kingston, "Kingston, is that so-and-so?" He went, "No, Mom." She said, "No, I think that's so-and-so." He went, "Mom, I think it is so-and-so." And so this was happening while I was on the phone with him. So it was like, wow, that was due in no part to my help with my counsel. But the steps of a man are ordered by the Lord. Do you believe this? You know, I was on my way to Kosovo, and there's somebody I've been thinking about since I was in the third grade. In fact, I've been praying for him lately. And God provided an opportunity for me to walk right up to him and minister to him. And then when I researched, I found out he was actually around other believers. And even when I spoke to him, he said, "I believe that." I thought, wow. And I was tired, jet-lagged, distracted, on a layover in England. And God just ordered my steps just to so-and-so. There are so-and-sos out there that need what I'm preaching to you for you to get a hold of this. So, "Oh, Pastor Jeff, you're assuring us. You're an encourager. You know, every time you preach, it goes right back to the same thing." It does. Jesus and the Bible. And if you abide in Him and His Word abides in you, you ask for big things. Now, some of you have been managing your expectations. Some of you have backed way off. And, you know, you've been around weirdos and flakes I'm believing for a purple 747 in my yard tomorrow. It's like, that's weird. I don't even want to be around. I want to distance myself from that. Because people, that's freaky. That's not faith. That's just weird. So we don't want to be weird. But then on the other hand, we don't want to manage it so much that, like Kingston said, "Dad, they were apologizing to God for interrupting him while they were praying in a bunch of unbelief." I don't think we should do that. Then what's our alternative? If we abide in Him and His Word abides in us, we ask whatever we wish and it will be done for us by our Father who's in heaven. Your kid that's all the way across the country, get a hold of him, God, and move on him. Move heaven and earth for that kid. Promote and prompt and bless him into your perfect will. Because at the end of the day, that's what we're believing God for. He says, "I will say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it's He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper." I like the King James, the snare of the fowler. Now, where they lay out snares, Patsy's dad fought in the Battle of Biak in what is now New Guinea. Was one of the most strategic battles in the Pacific part of the war. It was the first place where the Japanese used ambushment. They let them come in on the beaches and go into the jungle, then they attacked them. And her dad survived. This tells me that God knows how to deliver us from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may take refuge. I had a parrot named Frank, and he had these wings, you know, and underneath his wings, I would hold this bird, you know. I got it from, like, when it was really little fledgling. I bought it from a pet shop, and I got it on layaway. And I worked in the mall, so I could go to the pet and I'd visit this bird, and the pet shop owner would let me pet the bird and bond with the bird. The bird loved me for a while. But during this time, I felt underneath its wings, and I was meditating on these verses. Under the shadow of your wings, I take refuge. And you know, underneath those wings, it's so comfy and warm, those little downy feathers in there. I know that might sound creepy to some of you, but some of you may like that. He'll cover you with his pinions, and under his wings, you may take refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or the repeating of the CNN news, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not approach you. You only will look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. Look at verse 10. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For he will give his angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Stomp your feet a little bit. Thank you, Lord, that you have put the enemy under our feet. You know, I like that. We rented two theaters for the Passion of the Christ. In the first scene, when Jesus was in Gethsemane, it was a little poetic license, but he stomped on the head of the serpent. And that's really what Jesus did. He destroyed the work of the devil, and he equipped the church with something so profound, something so great. It's his faithfulness. And he says in verse 14, 15, and 16, to the people who love the Lord, how many of you love Jesus? Because he first loved you. So because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. He's your deliverer. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. This is the aim that I had in my preaching, that we would come to this point where we're abiding in him and his word's abiding in us. We ask whatever we wish and it will be done for us by our Father who's in heaven. So here's how I want to do this as we close. I want you to become aware of the people around you. Just kind of look around and just see the people that are there. And I want you just to pick somebody randomly. It's close proximity or a distance. And I want to pray the prayer of faith and pray some breakthrough over people's lives. Okay, so you're about ready to do this? You say, man, that's creeping me out. I don't know anybody. This is my first time here. Okay, well, we're going to pray for you anyway. This is the part where we stand in agreement. We trust God for some major things. All right? Look at each other with your peripheral vision. Chicken wing each other. All right, now proceed. Let's begin to pray for one another. Father, I thank you right now. We ask anything we wish, and we know you hear us. We know we have the petitions for which we ask. We pray, Father, for a comfort for those that have been distraught. We pray for energy for those who've become depleted. We pray for healing for those who need healing in their bodies. Lord, we trust you to reverse physical attack and bombardment in people's bodies right now. Lord, I ask that you would bring a supernatural strength where people have grown weak. Lord, I pray where people have grown weary, I pray like they become steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Father, I pray your supernatural energizing would just pour out in this room right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, we thank you for the release of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Lord, we thank you for a move of the Holy Spirit, the likes of which we've never even seen or dreamt possible. Lord, we trust you that for a great harvest, a great move of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our church, in our city, in our nation, in our world. We pray the repercussive impact of the power of God would go from shore to shore and all through the lands. We pray for the 7 billion people on our planet that the knowledge of Jesus would permeate every place. We bind the devil. We bind evil forces. We come against the demonic stirrings, and we take our stand in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for moving mightily, mightily. Lord, I pray for people all around about us, Lord. Kids in medical school. Lord, I pray for the business owners that they get supernatural grace and breakthrough. Lord, we thank you for the educators that they're supernaturally wise. They're led by the Holy Spirit. They're not undermined by the politics of people's opinions. They're not undercut by hidden agendas, but they get to make strides and progress. Lord, we thank you. I pray for opportunities for jobs. Lord, I know there are people here who need jobs. God, I pray you meet their needs and provide great jobs. God, I thank you for flourishing within the job they're in. God, I pray for fresh challenge and new opportunities. God, I pray for fresh stirrings. Lord, I thank you for moving in a mighty, mighty way this summer. We pray protection on our young people in water sports, in travel, on motorcycles, as they hike, as they walk. Lord, we pray for Pastor Driton in Kosovo, that you will energize him, that he'll sense your presence and your love right now. 6 hours ahead at 3:30 in the morning, we pray the anointing of the Holy Spirit on his life. We pray protection upon him on a street and all those guys there, Lord. We pray blessing on those guys. God bless the coast of our believers. God bless Jacoba Family Church, Lord. Pour out your anointing on it in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for safety and protection and blessing on the bi-state area. We come against copycat weirdness from mentally ill people in Jesus' name. We say we abate that right now by the power and the force of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. We come against copycat behaviors of all sorts of that type, of that evil. In Jesus' name, we come against it. We're a house of prayer, and we pray in faith. We pray in faith in the name of Jesus. We extinguish every flaming arrow of the devil. We thank you for causing a supernatural breakthrough right now, Lord. We thank you for supernatural breakthrough in people's lives. We praise you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord Jesus. Now, in closing, I pray, Father, for people that really, really are on the edge of pressure. Father, I ask for supernatural breakthrough and a visitation in their cases. I ask that you would intervene and fortify them with extraordinary strength. You are our help, O Lord. You are an ever-present help in the time of need. And Father, I ask that you would move heaven and earth on behalf of those. Lord, I pray their lives would get uncomplicated. I pray peace would come. I pray strength. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Say this with me. Lord Jesus, you're the Son of God. You died for my sins. You rose from the grave. And I trust you. I invite you into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Turn it around for me. Get in on my situation and do what only you can do. Thank you that you're my light and my salvation. My heart trusts you, and I know you'll do me good all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, you're my deliverer. You're my shield. Use me, Lord, in prayer and helping others in a meaningful way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you.